young man sat in his car with his hand resting atop his head that wore his favorite worn-out Red Sox baseball cap, a gift he had received from his nieces a few Christmases ago. From where he was parked, he could see his nieces playing out back on their swing set. He could hear their gentle squeals of laughter, which brought him both joy and sadness as he sat pensively in the driver's seat. He had missed his brother, his friend, and their family. And he found himself resisting the urge to just drive away and never look back. He had thought and thought about this day for months now. Maybe he should have shown up sooner. He knew he should have made things right with his brother well before this day, but the timing was never right. The hurt too raw, the anger still palpable. To avoid the issue seemed much easier. Easier than admitting he was wrong, easier than figuring out just how to make things right again. Just simply move on, he told himself again and again, but he couldn't. He tried. Something in him from deep inside would not let him. Fear, though. Fear had held him captive these years. What if his brother rejected him? What if this just opened up old wounds that could never truly be healed? What if he was just not worthy enough for forgiveness? What would an apology really even do? With his head down, lost in his thoughts, he was surprised when he heard a gentle tapping on his car window. Uncle. The small voice came from outside of his car. He looked up to see his niece, her inquisitive grin beaming at him. Once she confirmed it was her uncle sitting in the car, she clapped her hands, and with joy she squealed, "It is you! It is him! It is Uncle! Come out and see us! We love you!" Awestruck, he watched as she ran over to her father, who had been standing in the yard, watching with his arms crossed over his chest. He then watched as his brother's hand then lifted, waving him out of the car, inviting him to take the next step. And he did. And it was humbling, and it was hard. And as he was invited into continued conversation, uncomfortable as it was, and into his brother's home, as foreign as it was, he felt something that he had not felt in years. He felt hope. There is something about hope. I call it divine. My kids might call it magical. Hope opens up hearts, gives courage, strengthens, and seems to bring joy. It's a joy that is full of peace. Hope doesn't make doing the difficult stuff less difficult. But it sure does take off the sting. Hope, you see, is rooted in the grace of God. And to encounter grace is to know the hope found in being one of God's own, being truly loved. Truly loved despite our attempts to sabotage ourselves or to think otherwise. Hope helps us to trust in the promise that God loves us as we are, that we are forgiven and that nothing can separate us from God's love. The story of Zacchaeus, as shared here this morning, embodies this hope, that encounter with grace. It embodies the promise that anyone, despite their wrongdoings, despite who they might be, if they desire to see Jesus, they will. More than that, anyone who desires to see Jesus will in turn also be seen by Jesus. And this is what it means to encounter God's amazing grace. To be seen as we are. This summer, you as a community here at Old South Union Church, one of my favorite places in all the world, have explored the connections between the 12-step recovery program of Alcoholics Anonymous and living a life of faith. In doing so, along the way, you have been asked to do some difficult work, to look inside your hearts, reflect upon your own lives, examine your flaws, admit your wrongdoings. In following the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and their connections to living a life of faith, you have journeyed through the first 8 steps already, where you have been asked to have the courage to believe in a power greater than yourselves at work, to be willing to turn your lives over to God, to admit to knowing and trusting that God is working in and through every part of it all, even when it's difficult to believe. Today, step 9 asks us to be willing to make amends wherever possible without causing additional hurt. And then to not stop there, but head right into step 10, which asks us to be aware and conscious of our actions, to keep those actions in check, as we are asked to take daily personal inventory, to remain committed to being honest with ourselves and others about the things we do that might cause pain or hurt, to recognize that we are wrong and to promptly own it, admit it boldly and honestly, calling ourselves out into the light, flaws and all, as we are, no excuses. To make amends is different than seeking forgiveness, although it is a piece of that puzzle. When seeking to make amends, it requires admitting one's wrongs, asking for forgiveness, and then committing to compensate or make up for those wrongdoings without expecting anything in return. To make amends, you are required to show up, own your mistakes, and make changes for the better. Throughout this summer series, you have learned how addiction, in whatever form it takes, can stand in the way of relationships with each other and with God, even though God tells us that nothing can stand between us and God's love for us. We so often do not believe it. We hold God and others at arm's length, writing untrue stories in our heads with potential outcomes, stories that rob us of our hope and that misinform us about our own self-worth. They are often guided by grief and shame and regret. If we are honest with ourselves, we must admit that it is impossible to live in a broken world filled with broken people and not hurt others, even accidentally, or be hurt by them. What is possible as believers, that we have the freedom to live in the light of hope that is founded depending on God's grace, as we seek and accept forgiveness and love. In doing so, and it is not remotely easy, but it's doable, in doing so, we will encounter grace. Over and over and over again. Our mistakes can hold us captive and chain us to shame and guilt and regret. In hiding our addictions, not admitting or owning our wrongdoings, we can become our own worst enemies. But we need to find ways to make amends with ourselves and others. Be okay with our efforts. Didn't Jesus tell us that we must love even our enemies? Richard Rohr asks us this poignant question in his book that you're using as support for this series this summer, Breathing Underwater, Spirituality, and the 12 Steps. He goes on to say that if we can, on some level, love our sins and imperfections, which can be our enemies, then and only then can we become fully conscious of them and therefore able to take the steps to make changes necessary to be fully liberated from them, fully set free of the ways in which they hold us back from knowing ourselves and loving ourselves, from knowing knowing God and being open to receiving God's love and embracing the gift of hope that comes from encountering God's grace. God understands our struggles. And with God by our side, we are strong enough to face them. If God is with us, nothing is against us. And we do not have to be afraid because God is with us. God loves us where we are and as we are. Rohr also writes that God, who is universal consciousness itself, knows all things, absorbs all things, and forgives all things for simply being what they are. If Jesus commands us to love our enemies, then God must and will do the same. What hope and what joy this gives us all, for it takes away all fear of admitting our wrongs. It gives us courage to move forward. We learn as we reflect on Scripture and on the teachings and life of Jesus as found written in the Gospels that when folks encounter Jesus, they are changed. Those who were once blind see. Those who were crippled get up and walk. Those who were once left outside in the margins are brought into the inner circle. Those who die rise in glory. And all seem to be compelled to embrace hope by a gratitude that comes from the very fact that Jesus simply invited them into relationship with them, just as they were. We see this with Zacchaeus, the wealthy and sinful tax collector, as he hangs from a tree limb, trying to catch a glimpse of Jesus, who is walking the streets of Jericho, performing miracles and sharing stories. His attempt to see Jesus would land Zacchaeus in an unimagined encounter that would change him. Jesus invites this tax collector, this man placed out on the margins, casted off as corrupt and untrustworthy, to come down from his hiding place in the tree. In his seeking out Jesus, Zacchaeus is sought out by Jesus. Once seen, it is Jesus then who invites himself into Zacchaeus' life, just as it is. And it is Zacchaeus who commits to living a different life, to make amends for the way he had lived prior to meeting Jesus, because he is just so over the moon that Jesus wants to see him. God does not give up on us, even when it seems like everyone else has. Our God is a God of grace. God's grace simply snaps the chains that bind us to shame and guilt and suffering like a pair of bolt cutters. and sets us free. Free to forgive ourselves and others, and gives us permission to live the life that God has intended for us. A life that is lived in a way that reflects the wisdom of knowing what it truly means to be a child of God. It is when we encounter the truth about what it means to love and be loved that we can begin to make amends on the journey towards healing and wholeness, one grace-filled step at a time. Author Henry Nouwen writes, "It is through our broken, vulnerable, mortal ways of being that the healing power of the eternal God becomes visible to us." He continues on to say that we are indeed called. We are called each day to present to the Lord the whole of our lives, our joys as well as our sorrows, our successes as well as our failures, our hopes as well as our fears. We are called to do this with our limited means, our stuttering words, and our halting expressions. In this way, we will come to know in mind and heart the unceasing prayer of God's Holy Spirit in us. I pray that we, when in the trenches, among the noise and the confusion of our lives, among the hurt and the regret, find the strength and courage to climb up above it all, out on a limb, and look for Jesus. I promise you, we will not regret doing so, and you will never forget the encounter with grace. May our hearts forever remain open to the work of God's Holy Spirit within us. Amen.